Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We're still in Quran chapter 17 after we looked at the miracles of Muhammad as it was claimed by those who are so-called the modern Muslim scholars. The scholars of today, those who created a lot of new information about Islam just for the 21st century. Those who claim that Muhammad performed thousands of miracles. And you can see about these claims all over the internet. But as we know, the greatest miracle which all conservative Muslims believe, considering Muhammad, was the Quran itself. For every verse in the Quran is a miracle. As a matter of fact, in the Arabic language, we use the word ayah for a sign or a miracle, which we also have another word for it in the Arabic language, which is called mu'jiza. And that is what we'll be talking about in this and in the following few broadcasts to cover the other side of the story. But as we have seen so far, according to the Quran, Muhammad did not perform any miracles. But wait a minute, Brother Usama. In Quran chapter 17, verse 1, we know that there is a written record for that miraculous sign which Allah gave to Muhammad. That is when he took him from his house or to other locations. Why do I say that? Because in simple words, Muslim scholars do not know. Where did Muhammad begin that miraculous event? And then he was taken to some other mosque there. And then what happened later? We do not know. Because that's exactly all that which is written in Quran chapter 17 and verse 1. There are no details to tell me more about what happened on that night. All what we read in the Quran is, praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the farthest mosque, whom we have blessed that which surrounds him, that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he is the hearing, the seeing. Who is that servant? We do not know. From where he was taken, we do not know. And to where he was taken, we still do not know. And somehow, when you read the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars, they will actually fabricate a whole entire story. It could take few pages to tell us about the miraculous trip of Muhammad from some place in Mecca to Jerusalem. Then he rode on his supersonic mule, some say a white horse with wings, and he was ascended to the seven heavens, and then he came down after Muhammad made 13 trips between the fourth or maybe the fifth heaven where Moses used to live and the seven heavens where Allah lives. So may he negotiate the number of the prayer from 50 to 5 prayers every day. Then Muhammad came back to his place where he used to be in Mecca, which we do not know exactly where it was. And that is the miracle of Muhammad. Obviously, from what we have seen in our study in the previous broadcast, that Muhammad himself does not know the difference between a miracle and a plague. He confused his gullible Muslim believers about Moses, and somehow Moses was able to perform 9 miracles or 9 signs, when in reality he only mentioned 5 in the Quran. One of them was an accurate, which is the flood. As we're going to see in our study, for the true miracles which Moses performed in the Bible, you will see that Muhammad did not know anything about Moses nor the writings of the Bible concerning miracles. Our dear Muslim friends do not understand the simplest understanding for the word miracle. As you read throughout the Quran, you see Allah mentions so many miracles. Some of the miracles is like we shared before, water came from heaven, the rain is not a miracle. It is a natural things happen every day all over the world, from which we have the growth of the trees and the vegetables and the fruit, which have different color and different flavor and different smell. I understand all that. That's not a miracle. But Muhammad considered it to be a great miracle. In simple words, let me tell you that the Quran cannot be a miracle because it is a book which is filled with scientific errors and geographical errors and moral errors and the multiple errors of contradictions. That's why the Quran cannot be a miracle. As I talked to a friend of mine from Saudi Arabia who just became a Christian a few years ago, he said, the miracle of Islam is not the Quran, but the miracle of Islam, it is the people who believe the Quran. For somebody to believe that the Quran is an inspired book from God to a prophet by the name Muhammad, that itself is a miracle. Why? Once again, because it is an empty book full of errors and contradictions. So what is a miracle? If you go online, you will read multiple opinions about a miracle. I like that one here. It said a miracle is a powerful act of God that goes beyond natural or scientific understanding, showing his divine authority and his purpose. A miracle is not some magic, because if it was a magic, as we will see in the biblical teaching, the Egyptian sorcerers performed magic. It was performed by the power of Satan. But where is God in that magic? Muslim scholars told us that Muhammad did not perform any miracles because when Allah sent miracles on previous prophets, people did not believe in them. But we discovered in our studies so far that it's not true. Moses performed miracles, and not only the Hebrews believed in him, that's why they followed him from Egypt to the promised land, but even the Egyptian sorcerers believed. Says who? Says Allah in the Quran. Similar to that, the Quran stated that Isa, son of Mary, performed miracles and people believed in him. This is just to look at what the Quran teaches about signs and miracles. Muhammad did not perform any miracle because he was not a true prophet. He could not prove, especially when people begged him, please do something for us. Show us that you are a true prophet or you are a true messenger that we may believe in you. First of all, we have to understand that we as Christians do not believe that every prophet performed miracles. As a matter of fact, we do not believe that all the prophets wrote books. There are plenty of prophets in the Bible who did not have any writing materials, as Muhammad and Muslim scholars claim. We do not believe that miracles was the norm all over the life of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you study the Bible, you find that the first prophet who ever performed miracle in the Bible was Prophet Moses. That was around 2,500 years after Adam. So all the people who lived in this world from Adam to Moses have never seen a miracle or a sign. Now, once again, when God sent Moses to Egypt after he left Egypt 40 years later, he did not send him empty-handed, which means he did not just go and tell the Jewish people, God has sent me and here I am. Let's get out of here. We'll go to the promised land as God had promised our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, he has the true facts. He has the true information. Yes, all the Jewish people know that the Lord is going to deliver them out of the slavery in Egypt. Someday they will go to the promised land because they believe in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They actually had the body of Joseph mummified in a box, ready to head the road and go back home with his body to keep the promise to him. As he said, when the Lord send you the one who will deliver you, please take my bones out of Egypt. What did God do? To prove to the Jewish people that Moses was sent by God, God prepared him, God equipped him with what? With three miracles that they may know for sure that they are not being deceived, but they were actually following a true prophet of God. What do we read about that? I believe the first miracle God performed, it was God and Moses and nobody else. We believe it because it is written in the scripture, and that is concerning the burning bush. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, we read, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. That is a miracle. Why? Because it is something against the nature. It is not the norm for a bush to burn without being consumed. Why did God do this miracle? To catch the attention of Moses. Because he is now preparing Moses for a mission. And the mission was simply to go back to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. But there must be some logic. There must be common sense. How can Moses convince the 2+ million Hebrews in Egypt that he is a true prophet? After all, he left Egypt as a coward running for his life for 40 years after he killed the Egyptian.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Here is the answer. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." What great logic and common sense. Muhammad never thought of it that way. And every time the Arab infidels, Christians and Jews and others in his day, asked him to perform a miracle that they may believe him, his answer was, "Well, only miracles is with Allah." "Oh, well, Allah sent them before and nobody believed." Well, one excuse after another. And God did not tell Moses in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, "Well, it's too bad. Those who believe you and follow you, and the one who will not believe you is to stay behind in Egypt." No. That's not how God sent his man, Moses, to deliver his people out of Egypt. For in verse 2 we read, "So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he, that is Moses, cast it, that is a rod, on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it." Moses was not dreaming. Moses was not imagining, like Muhammad did when he traveled all the way from Mecca to Jerusalem to the seven heavens. It's a real experience. It's a miracle. In verse 4 we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he, Moses, reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." What is that? That is a great miracle. And to understand why God gave that miracle to Moses, it's very simple. Let's read together verse 5. "God said to Moses, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob had appeared to you." Here is the evidence, Moses, that you're not going on your own by your imagination. I am giving you a sign, a miracle, evidence to them to know for sure that I am the one who sent you. But that's not it. It's not just one miracle. God is equipping Moses with a couple more miracles. Let's look at what is written in verse 6. "Furthermore, the Lord said to him," that is to Moses, "now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. That is another miracle. And he, that is the Lord, said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he, Moses, put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. That is, something cannot be explained scientifically. That is, something cannot be explained by any logic. It is a great miracle. It is beyond the understanding. Once again, as we read earlier, a miracle is a powerful act of God that goes beyond natural or scientific understanding, showing his divine authority and his purpose. Let's move on to the third miracle. And here is the reason why God gave Moses the third miracle. As we read in verse 8, then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And in verse 9, God said, it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Wow. Not one, not two, but three miracles. And what was the purpose of these miracles? It is that they believe that God sent him to deliver them from the land of slavery, the land of Egypt, to the promised land, the land which is filled with honey and milk. Notice when we read the same story in the Quran, chapter 7 or chapter 14 or 27 and chapter 2. I mean, Muhammad repeats the same story over and over and over again in the Quran. He made a fool of himself. Yes, you heard me right. Muhammad made a fool of himself. Why? Because he mixed the miracle of the rod which turned to snake with the white leprosy of his hand with the plagues of Egypt. And he performed these two miracles before Pharaoh, not before the children of Israel. And that shows you how ignorant Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad, and so-called Muslim scholars, they do not know what Moses did, when and where and why. Now, as we continue to read that which is written in Exodus chapter 4, we discover that Moses have more problem than anybody else. And he try hard to get out of that responsibility of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land by telling God some facts which God already know. Well, I'm not a good talker. With the rest of the excuses that he is not qualified to do the job. That's when God provided Aaron to accompany him. So now, who went to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? It was Moses. Did he do it alone? No, he did it with the help of God through performing great miracles. And he had Aaron to be his spokesman. Something Muslims do not know or understand. I know when we read in the Quran, Moses and Aaron and Moses and Aaron, you do not even know who is that Aaron, where he's come from. Why is Aaron even involved in the mission of Moses to get the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land? The story ended with God saying, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. Which means you make the decision, you make the big command, and Aaron will fulfill it, and Pharaoh will pay for it. That is the role of Aaron in the life of Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. Now, in the Quran, Allah stated it was Moses who performed these miracles of his rod turning to snake and his hand turned to white with leprosy before Pharaoh. When in reality, that's not true at all. First time Moses performed miracles, ladies and gentlemen, it was before the children of Israel, not before Pharaoh. Now, let's see together what is actually happened concerning the first miracle, where I call it miracle because it is a miracle. It was not one of the 10 plagues, as Muhammad erroneously wrote in his Quran. Nobody was harmed by it, but it was the evidence of God that Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh. In verse 8 of Exodus chapter 7, we read, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourself, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. In verse 10 we read, so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, before his servants, and it became a serpent. In verse 11 we read, but Pharaoh also called his wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Wait a minute, you mean the sorcerers of Egypt, those who do not believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, can perform miracles? No, they can. It is by the power of Satan. But notice what happened, how God proved to Pharaoh and to the sorcerers of Egypt that Moses was sent by God and he was not a magician like all of them. It's very simple. For in verse 12 we read, for every man threw down his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Once again, notice, it was Aaron's rod, not Moses' rod, as Muhammad erroneously wrote in his Quran. And what was the result? In verse 13, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. It was not surprising to Moses or Aaron that Pharaoh will harden his heart. But who did that miracle? It was not Moses, as Muhammad states in the Quran. It was actually his brother Aaron. And that one miracle has nothing to do with the 10 plagues, as it is written in the rest of the account in the book of Exodus. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.